It is written in the scriptures, if there arise among you a prophet or dreamer of dreams, that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. Thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, because he hath sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God. The news department of the ABC Radio Network presents Malcolm X, Misfit or Messiah, an examination of the life, the times, the death, and the message of a militant spokesman for a segment of the Negro consciousness. Malcolm X.
The political philosophy of black nationalism means we must control the politics and the politicians of our own community. They must no longer take orders from outside forces, and we will organize and sweep out of office all Negro politicians who are puppets for these outside forces.
With this special radio portrait of Malcolm X, here is ABC newsman Don Gardner.
Malcolm X is dead, some say, because he was a prophet, a black voice crying out in a white wilderness. He is dead, some say, because he courted death with a gospel of violence. Which of these views of the tall, lean, bearded spokesman for a black nationalism is the true image of Malcolm X? Or does the truth lie somewhere between? Malcolm X died in the 40th year of his life, a violent death in a hail of bullets in New York City. But his death quite possibly raised more questions than it could answer. It was, some said, the expected, predictable end for a man who raised his voice, first as a black Muslim, and later as the leader of his own black nationalism, a voice that preached against the doctrine of nonviolence, which has been the main thrust of the civil rights movement of this decade. Malcolm X, the embittered young Negro, who found a faith and then lost it, first came to prominence as a spokesman for the leader of the black Muslims, Elijah Muhammad, in speeches such as this one in Boston in 1962.
Don't come out here to find out, does Muhammad teach hate? Go in the Negro community and examine them and find out who taught them to hate each other, who taught them to hate their own kind. And then you'll find the greatest hate teacher who ever walked the face of the planet Earth. And I'm sure you'll agree, it's the American white man.
Malcolm X, the eloquent and forceful spokesman for the black Muslims, would have no patience with other Negro leaders whose doctrine was turn the other cheek, nonviolent resistance.
We pray that we give us courage, give us strength to fight the good fight. As we struggle for the cause of freedom,
we shall
The decade of the 1960s became a decade of civil rights demonstrations as the American Negro asked for the full equality promised him as part of the American dream. Its major leaders, men such as Roy Wilkins of the NAACP.
I believe that unruly and demonstrations that are not focused directly on an issue or on a person that can affect redress perhaps will be misinterpreted. I don't want to give up the American right to protest, because don't ever forget about the Boston Tea Party whenever you think about Negroes shouldn't do this, that, or the other.
Besides Roy Wilkins, another voice for nonviolent action was James Farmer of CORE.
What we are endeavoring to do is, in our protests, to resolve the inevitable conflict and tensions in a spirit of nonviolence.
Farmer, Wilkins, Dr. Martin Luther King, all workers for Negro rights, but advocates of nonviolence for the complete integration of the Negro in American society. The Negro movement toward full civil rights reached a climax in the 1962 March on Washington and the later enactment of a civil rights law. But for Malcolm X, there were doubts.
Most of the things that the so-called Negroes expected to come out of the March on Washington have failed to materialize completely. If the demonstrators don't see some kind of progress, naturally the tempo will increase, and the whites themselves, who are becoming fed up, with the demonstrations that are going on here in the North are going to try and counter demonstrate, and you have to have some kind of contact or violence will result.
And Malcolm had some thoughts about the nonviolent preachings of Dr. Martin Luther King.
I think that the people in this country sooner or later will force Dr. King to change. Otherwise, he will not have the role of leader of a people whose patience has already run out.
This, then, was Malcolm X, a voice running counter to the majority of the leaders of Negro organizations in the United States, and a voice that sometimes was edged with contradictions. On the subject of violence...
I've never advocated any violence and never talked about bloodshed. Usually, when they say bloodshed, Negroes themselves can be bleeding, and that's not called bloodshed. It's only called bloodshed when Negroes speak in terms of trying to do something to stop others from making them bleed. Then they call it bloodshed.
And at another time, another place, Malcolm X on the subject of violence.
I don't believe in any kind of nonviolence. I believe that it's right to be nonviolent with people who are nonviolent. But when you're dealing with an enemy who doesn't know what nonviolence is, as far as I'm concerned, you're wasting your time.
Malcolm X lived a life surrounded by violence. At the age of 4, he saw his house burned down by racists. When he was 6, his father was killed, and Malcolm believed he was murdered. He fell into crime, drug addiction, and procuring. By the time he was 21, he had a prison record, and it was in prison that he was introduced and converted to a new religion of Islam, led by Elijah Muhammad, whose doctrine was black supremacy. Malcolm became a trusted aide of Elijah and the nationally known spokesman for the black Muslims.
I frankly believe that since the ballot is our right, that we are within our rights to use whatever means is necessary to secure those rights.
As leader of the New York mosque of the Negro cult based on the Islam religion, Malcolm X was a racist, advocated black separatism, and predicted bloodshed.
The frustrations of our people here in America, especially the young generation, is building up toward open conflict, which I personally believe can lead to a guerrilla-type warfare between whites and blacks in this country, as existed between the French and the Algerians in Algeria, and the same type that existed between oppressed and oppressor peoples on the Asian and African continents.
And then the interests of Elijah Muhammad and Malcolm X clashed. In a statement after the death of President Kennedy, Malcolm X said that the assassination was chickens coming home to roost. It shocked the nation and led Elijah Muhammad to suspend Malcolm from the Muslims. On March 8, 1964, Malcolm split with the Muslims, never to return.
I will always be a Muslim, and I will always follow the religion, the religious teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I'm only stepping out on my own to be in a position to better spread the religion of Islam as taught to me by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Later, Malcolm X, his alienation from the black Muslims growing with each passing day, remembered his days with the Muslims.
Whenever I opened my mouth, I always said that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us thus and so. And I spoke for him. I represented him. I represented an organization and organizational thinking. Many of my own views that I had from personal experience, I kept to myself. I was faithful to that organization and to that man. Since things came about that made me doubt his integrity, I think for myself. I listen as much as I can to everyone and try and come up with a capsulized opinion. I believe that it is possible for brotherhood to be brought about among all people, but I don't delude myself into dreaming or falling for a dream that this exists before it exists. Some of the leaders of our people in this country always say that they believe in this dream. But while they're dreaming, our people are having a nightmare. And I don't think that you can make a dream come true by pretending that that dream exists when it doesn't.
In a life of many turning points, Malcolm X reached another early in 1964 when he visited Mecca, the shrine of the religion of Islam. In an ABC interview, Malcolm X said,
"Travel always broadens one's scope. If travel doesn't, nothing will. And twice this year, I visited both Africa and the Middle East. The first time I went was in April and May. I went to Mecca. I went primarily to get a better understanding of Islam. There were things that happened between me and Elijah Muhammad that caused me to greatly question his ability as a man, much less as a religious leader. And based upon that doubt, I went in search of an understanding of the religion of Islam. I made the Hajj, or the pilgrimage to Mecca. While I was, one of the things that Elijah Muhammad always taught us was that Islam is a religion of God. It was a religion in which no whites could participate. And he used, to prove his point, he told us that Mecca was a forbidden city, a city that was forbidden to non-Muslims. And since a white person couldn't be a Muslim, in his teaching, he said that no whites could enter Mecca. Well, I went to Mecca in May, rather in April, and everyone was there. In fact, one member of the Turkish parliament who had brought a busload, several hundred busloads from Turkey to make the pilgrimage, was standing with me on the steps of a hotel in Mina, which is a short distance from Mecca. And he pointed out at that time that Mecca, during the Hajj season or the pilgrimage season, would be an anthropologist's paradise, because every specimen of humanity is represented there. It's an absolute brotherhood. So that when I saw this with my own eyes, and saw that people of all colors could practice brotherhood, it was at that point that I wrote back and pointed out that I believed in Islam as a religion of brotherhood. But this belief in brotherhood doesn't alter the fact that I'm also an Afro-American, or American Negro, as you wish, in a society which has very serious and severe race problems which no religion can blind me to.
On the 15th of February, Malcolm X made his last speech. He talked about the black Muslims.
There's no organization in this country that could do more for the struggling black man than the black Muslim movement if it wanted to. But it has gotten into the possession of a man who's become senile in his old age and perhaps doesn't realize it.
That was the beginning of the week that brought the life of Malcolm X violently to an end. It followed by one day, the burning of his New York home, a fire which Malcolm X blamed on the Muslims. He said he had reached the end of his rope and recalled another comment he made about himself, the Muslims, and his destiny.
There's no group of black people in this country more capable of carrying out a death threat than the Muslims.
In a published interview, Malcolm wrote, "Some of the followers of Elijah Muhammad would consider it a first-rank honor to kill me. I also know that any day, any night, I could die at the hands of some white devil racists." Then on Sunday, the 21st of February...
Apparently, two unknown men walked up to the speaker's platform at the time Malcolm X was speaking and opened fire at him at very short range and discharged about 8 to 10 shots. Malcolm was hit 7 times in the chest and body and 1 in the lower right chin.
The murder of Malcolm X stirred deep emotions, triggered extraordinary police precautions in cities where the black Muslims have temples, and set off fears that followers of Malcolm would attempt reprisals against the Muslims, believed by many to be responsible for the killing of Malcolm. But Elijah Muhammad, at an unusual news conference, denied any knowledge of the crime or any Muslim connection with it. Elijah Muhammad said,
"I don't know why he was shot, because I don't know the people who shot him. I don't know what their intentions was. So therefore, I can't say why he was shot."
And speaking at a Muslim meeting in Chicago on Friday, Elijah Muhammad spoke of the manner of Malcolm's death.
"He preached bloodbath.
Right.
And was the first one to be bathed in it.
Right. That's right. That's right, dear brother.
He got just what he preached.
That's right.
New York police have made arrests in the murder of Malcolm X, and one of the men arrested was alleged to be an enforcer for the black Muslims. In the week since the murder, there has been a series of threats, bomb scares, and the bombing of a Muslim mosque in New York, as reported by two New York policemen to ABC newsman Paul Ehrlich.
"It was a muffled explosion here. Every glass come out of the top window on the top floor. Well, how would you say that this happened, inasmuch as you were assigned to the place and it probably has been under surveillance for quite a while?
It has been, definitely.
Yes. Well, any way to explain that?
All the doors were locked downstairs. I have no idea.
Uh-huh.
You see anybody running away?
No, I didn't.
Were there any lights in the building?
The only light was on in the hallway there, I believe.
Did you run in the building immediately, or what did you do?
We went in the door after. We opened the door and we went in. And we only went up a little ways and we came back down again.
What's the first thing you did when you heard the explosion?
Well, we got away from the building because all the debris was falling down. Then we turned in the fire alarm, then we radioed for assistance.
Did you pull your guns at all?
At first I did, yes.
Why?
Well, I didn't know, at first what was going on.
We heard an explosion. We ran into the street. We figured it'd be falling debris. We turned around and the windows were falling out. And noticed a small glow of fire in there, so I ran and pulled the fire alarm.
What was the first thing you did when you heard the explosion?
Run. Get out from under the building and figure with an explosion, it has to be falling debris.
Did you look for people who might have done this?
Definitely.
And what did you see?
No one in particular standing around. No possible way of having access to the building. The building was locked up.
In Chicago, where thousands of black Muslims are meeting this weekend, there is grave apprehension because there have been threats of violence. On Wednesday, Chicago police reported a bomb threat against the Muslims.
Somebody called from New York and said that the bomb is placed on a seat in the Coliseum. It's supposed to be set for Friday when the meeting was to be held.
In New York's Harlem, militant backers of Malcolm X have made their presence known in an attempt to force Harlem businessmen to close their shops during the funeral for Malcolm, pressures which the businessmen resisted despite threats of reprisals. An undercurrent of fear runs through Harlem, as a businessman told ABC News.
Quite a number of them in the area simply come home from their jobs, they go upstairs, they lock themselves in and refuse to come out anymore.
As the body of Malcolm X lay on view in a Harlem funeral home, the police precautions against new violence were in force, and ABC's Mal Good talked with the operator of the funeral home.
They are searching the place. They have it surrounded in, out, and behind and above, too.
What are they doing inside? Are they searching?
They're searching everything in the building.
Are they searching the flowers?
They're searching everything.
The casket?
Everything, sir.
In the anxious time which followed the killing of Malcolm X, there have been predictions of a religious war between Malcolm's followers and the Muslims. There is fear and anxiety in Negro communities across the land. But there are also voices calling for calm. America's largest Negro weekly newspaper, the Amsterdam News, urged, "Let's give Malcolm the warmth and respect that is due him, but let's be cool about it." Today, Malcolm X was buried.
Sunlight is streaming through the yellow and white windows of the Faith Temple, Church of God in Christ. Sitting in the front left-hand pews of the church, the Muslim sisters, wives of black Muslim members. Among those distinguished Negroes present, actor Ozzie Davis.
There are many civil rights leaders among us who will have a later opportunity to further express their appreciation. There's Mr. Foreman, Mr. Farmer, Mr. Rustin, and others. And I would like now to call upon first Mr. Ahmed Osman, Islamic Center in Geneva, Switzerland, and the United States.
Indeed, we have known our brother Malcolm as a beloved brother, especially after his last pilgrimage to Mecca last April, in which he has come to know that all races, despite their color, despite their originality, despite their nationality, they can live in peace and harmony with each other. And since that day, he spent about 3 months in the Middle East studying the true Islam. And after he came back, he never preached any racism, he never preached any segregation, he never preached any separation, but he stood for full equality for his brothers and sisters. The highest thing that a Muslim can aspire to is to die on the battlefield and not to die on his bedside. man, he hasn't died. Because for the Muslims, those who die on the battlefield, they are not dead, but they are alive.
I don't know that Malcolm would appreciate a man in tears, even at such an occasion as this. Our own black shining prince, who did not hesitate to die because he loved us so. And now we surrender the services to Islam.
The body of Malcolm X, wrapped in a white shroud, laid out in an open coffin, has been placed so that Malcolm's head faces Mecca, in accordance with Muslim practice. Ted Koppel, ABC News, at the funeral chapel.
So the life and death of Malcolm X. He was a man born and raised in the violent world in which many American Negroes must live. There were qualities which, if they had not been bent away from the law in his youth, might have steered Malcolm X along a different path. He has had an impact upon his day. It is too soon to know if he has had a lasting impact upon his people. The immediate legacy is fear, mistrust, and frustration. New York Negro leader Jesse Gray.
Yes, in killing Malcolm, the white power structure and the white ruthless races hope that this will silence us and head off our struggles against the rotten slumlords, against police brutality, against the rotten schools. But no, on the contrary, we're going to consolidate our ranks and build a mighty movement in the name of Malcolm X.
Malcolm X is dead, given the final rites of his faith, Islam. Once he said, Christianity took me to prison and Islam brought me out.
Having grown up in America and knowing the racist attitude of the American whites, I felt that if perhaps the American whites could adopt the religion of Islam, perhaps they could then get rid of the racism that is in their heart and in their behavior pattern.
There were indications after Malcolm's journey to Mecca that he was moderating his views on the future of the Negro in America. At the time of his last appearance in public, he was promising to outline his program for his followers. He was shot to death before he could do it. Malcolm X, a leader and a prophet to those who believed in him, is gone. Their future is uncertain. Malcolm said, I dream that one day history will look upon me as having been one of the voices that perhaps helped save America from catastrophe. Whether Malcolm X was indeed a prophet or merely an embittered leader of a faction will be history's decision.
The news department of the ABC Radio Network has presented Malcolm X, Misfit or Messiah? The story of Malcolm X, written and produced by Paul Jeffers. Directed by Joe Dennehy. Executive producer Tom O'Brien. Audio engineering by Len Hirschfield and Joe Palmer. Your narrator was Don Gardner. This is John Causier speaking.
Flair reports, weekends, on the ABC Radio Network.